Thank you, Loman, and thank you, Dr. Murray, for being a guest on the Lincoln Radio program. Dr. Murray, the topic is, how do we use technology to better manage our health care? What do we need to know about that?
Well, Joe, I think there's a lot to unravel there, but a lot of Americans spend a lot of time actually trying to manage their care. They estimate an average of about 8 hours a month managing the care for themselves and for their loved ones. And so I think kind of my message today would be ways that people can use technology to make better use of that time and make sure that they're able to communicate with their physician or their provider as efficiently as possible to get the kind of health care that they need and the kind of outcomes from it that they want.
Speaking to a couple of people that I know about this interview coming up, and one of the things they said when it comes to technology, we were told a bill of goods a number of years ago that we're going to have records available all throughout the healthcare systems to make it easy to pass information on. But if you go to the same system in the period of a week, they ask the same five questions that's already in their systems. And they just wonder, well, what happened to the technology? What happened to the thought that if I tell you what my meds are today, why do we need to go through that again on Tuesday or Friday?
It's a good question. It's a common statement that people say. I do think that we're not where we want to be necessarily in terms of having that record that really is traveling around with you from doctor to doctor. But it is important. You know, I am a practicing physician and realize that sometimes they're asking you the questions because it's not impossible for the medicines to change between Friday and Tuesday. And it's very important that we know what your allergies are,
sure,
what your medications are, the reason that you're there. So that may be some of the repetition, but I can certainly see it being frustrating that everything is just not in the computer. And you already asked me that, but the common feeling.
It says in some of the material you provided me that Americans spend an average of 8 hours a month managing health care for themselves and their loved ones. How is that possible?
A lot of time is kind of wasted, and that's what I'm here to kind of get people to realize and realize that they can maybe make some different choices or be maybe even a little bit more demanding from their doctor's office around, are they using technology that's working to help them communicate? I mean, the way I like people to think about it is that we want, as physicians, we want medicine to kind of be as convenient and as effective as online shopping. And what I mean by that is that we want the technology that's in the office and the technology that our patients can communicate with us. We want it to be immediate, to be convenient, to be transparent, that people really feel like they can ask questions and get answers, and that they can take advantage of that technology to make those 8 hours a month more efficient and not have them be a waste of time. Not all doctor's offices are there, for sure, but I do think that people can stop kind of throwing up their hands and saying that the technology is not working or that it just is the way it is, because some doctor's offices are there and some patients have an experience where they message the practice and they get an answer back within a few hours, or they're able to have a virtual appointment online, you know, a video visit. They can schedule their appointments online. If they need access to their lab results or their records, they're able to get those online and they don't have to spend, you know, those 8 hours on the phone on hold with the practice's staff. Instead, they're able to have a more effective conversation with their doctor. So kind of the online shopping version of medicine, so to speak.
So to the detriment of what we're discussing right now, the statistics show that more than 100 million people across the country don't even have a primary care provider. That certainly doesn't count the influx of immigration over the last several years. Boy, and it's an average wait of 26 days in many big cities to secure an appointment with a new doctor. And that's before we get into just managing what probably is a relatively healthy relationship between a doctor and patient.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty astounding, right, that 100 million Americans don't have a primary care doctor. And sometimes there's real access issues in some areas of the country, some cities and some rural areas. There just are not enough doctors to go around or healthcare providers, you know, nurse practitioners, physician's assistants. But sometimes it's also just the hassle factor, mm-hmm. right? If you call the office and they you can't speak with them, and when you leave a message, they call you back 2 days later and offer you an appointment 3 months from now. That's not necessarily an access issue. That's just an office that's not as effective at communication. They're not using some of this technology to improve the relationship. The best practices, the most convenient practices, they have their appointment book online. You can say what kind of appointment you want if you're a new patient or an established patient, and you can book that appointment. And if you've already been there a couple times, a lot of times that can even be a video visit. You could do it without even needing to travel to the doctor's office.
This is Joe Geiger on the Lincoln Radio Program. My guest today is Dr. Bob Murray of Next Gen Healthcare. It says here that you're in charge of things over there.
I don't know if I go that far, but I am Chief Medical Officer for Next Gen Healthcare, and we provide technology and services to doctors' offices all throughout the United States. And so we provide some of the computer records, some of this technology to enhance the communication between the office and patients, as well as, you know, stuff like billing and other kinds of behind the scenes stuff for doctors' offices. And well, so we do try to get the practices that use our software to kind of take full advantage of it. But I think patients should be on the lookout for the practices that seem to be doing that, whether they're using our software or not.
Well, you're a nationally respected physician and health tech leader, and you've been featured on television programs. You've been at many industry events. Let's quickly get into what are some of the strategies a patient can use to save on some of that wasted time?
It probably starts in terms of just finding a doctor. I think a lot of people use word of mouth to find a doctor, you know, ask their friends and family, which is perfectly fine. But I would then encourage them, go ahead and go to that practice's website and just get a feel for it. Does it look like people can make online appointments? Does it look like there's a way to message the practice or to set up a video visit, you know, once you're a patient? Mm. Do they advertise, or do they make it very easy to get to the practice's portal, right? And then when you do have an appointment, you're only going to have a few minutes with the doctor. So you want that appointment to try to be efficient. And so as you're seeing the doctor, were you able to answer some of those questions that you get asked so many times? Were you able to answer those with the computer or with your phone before the visit, so you don't have to waste time when you're with the doctor doing that? And, you know, I want you to kind of realize, as you're spending your, whatever, 8 minutes, 15 minutes with the doctor, however long you have, how much of this could we have covered before the visit, right? If things were a little bit more efficient, right? And so that you could really make the maximum use of that very short time with the doctor. But I think while you're there, does the practice kind of promote the portal? Do they try to enroll you in it? Do they tell you how you can communicate with them after hours? Are they just interested in not wasting your time and to really making sure that you know how to communicate with them or not? And then afterwards, I would always ask the provider, hey, can I send you a message if I have questions? And then if you do, which a lot of people do, go ahead and send a message and see what happens. Are they able to get back to you? And I think you can get a sense from that kind of cycle how communicative, how receptive that practice is going to be for you, and then the decision to make if you stay with them or not.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Maybe even for them to write their questions down before they get engaged with their physician, so that they don't have to think about what's the right way to position this question or statement and that kind of thing.
Absolutely. And as a doctor side of that, I always like that. Like, I don't mind a long list of things you want to talk about. I typically go over the whole list ahead of time, and then we'll decide what are the most important ones and talk first. But so many people, they get kind of, you know, flustered or forgetful, or even worse, they delay talking about the real reason that they're there until the end of the visit. Don't do that. Bring the reason that you're there. Make that the first thing that you talk about with your doctor. So there's good communication there.
Yeah, we've got a lot of technology emerging. We hear a lot about artificial intelligence or AI. Is that going to make things easier for patients?
It's a good question. I think for some practices that are able to take advantage of AI's strengths and really, you know, avoid the kind of weaknesses or pitfalls of it, I do think it's going to be able to help. Doctors and the staff in offices are very, very busy, busier than they've ever been. And so they can use artificial intelligence to handle either routine questions from patients or to give longer explanations for what their lab results would mean or what does this x-ray mean. Now, they're not going to replace the doctor's judgment or the explanation of how that fits into the context of that patient's healthcare, but I do think they can help make things more efficient. I think they can help the back-end operations of those practices be more efficient. And one use of AI that I use in my practice all the time, I'm a practicing family physician, is something called ambient listening. And so while I'm in the room with the patient, my smartphone, the microphone there is transcribing that conversation. And then I use a very secure private AI to generate the start of my note so that I don't have to be typing on the computer while the patient's there jotting down notes on paper, because the AI is doing that kind of, so to speak, secretarial type of work. And I can really just focus on the patient, the questions, and my explanations, which are auto captured.
Dr. Moran, we've got another patient sitting in our outer office here, so we're going to have to cut this interview off. But
I know how that goes, Joe. But yeah, thank you so much for having me today. It's great.
This is Joe Geiger speaking with Dr. Robert Bob Murray, who's the Chief Medical Officer at NextGen Healthcare. If people want to know more about you or what we're talking about, how can they find you?
They can see me or the technology that we're talking about that can help their doctor's offices. They can just go to nextgen.com, NextGen.com. Thank you, Joe.
Thank you very much for your time. Back to you, Loman.